Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome, Penny, for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS, overcast and 72 degrees. We'll see how much it rains today. What, 40% chance of rain, a high of 82, as you heard Michael just mention. Busy show for you today. Not quite the sprint we have on some Tuesdays with just an hour. We have about an hour and a half today. Because at 10:30, we'll have UC Money Talk to close out the show today as we've reached this portion of the month. So they'll be coming in at 10:30 today. The first hour, Julia Reed, Champaign County State's Attorney, is here for the first hour. So we'll take your phone calls, emails, and texts for her. Any questions on the law, cases, different things you want to ask about, she is here to do that, as she's done over the years. We have not had her in studio, I think, since like early April. Maybe we had her for a little bit in June on the slingshot case from a couple months ago. But it's been a while, but she is here today for the full hour. So 356-9397, you can email us, talk at WDWS.com, or text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Second half hour, anyway, the second hour, the third half hour, we'll talk a little bit about the newspapers across the country with editorials today and regarding the president and freedom of the press and the back and forth with the president and the media in general, and we'll talk about the editorial in the News Gazette today as well in regards to that. And then at 10:30, Busey Money Talk. So that's what's ahead today. We'll have a couple of hours for you tomorrow, and then we'll get into next week. Among the things we'll talk about next week, we have some members from the Prairie Lands Council. You've heard a lot of news this summer about the Boy Scouts, girls in the Boy Scouts. Different things. We'll have some folks on from the Boy Scouts next week along the way, among other things, as we get ready for September and football season. Illini Friday's coming up as well here in just a little bit. So anyway, Julia Reitz is next here to start us off, and then back with more after this. Brian Barnhart back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. A couple of anniversaries today of note. One, this was 41 years ago Elvis Presley passed away. You may remember where you were. He was only 42. We'll talk about that a little bit in the next hour. And also, a happy anniversary to our friend Jim Turpin and Louise Turpin. 66 years anniversary today for Jim and Louise Turpin. So happy anniversary to the Turpins. All right, Julia Reitz is here. You know
good
that couple
morning.
Well. 66
I do.
Years, wow.
Jim put a funny picture of the two of them on Facebook, and they're kind of like making angry faces at each other in a funny sort of way, and it just made me smile. And so happy anniversary to Jim and Louise. Definitely a wonderful couple, a treasure to our community. Wish them many, many more.
So, how are you doing?
I'm good.
It's been a while since we've seen you, and you've been traveling, right?
I have been. You know, it's that time of year. Everybody's moving their children and sending children off to college and school. So, happy first day of school to a lot of our schools here in town, and hopefully it's going to be a safe and successful and productive year for everyone. So, yeah, I've been doing a little of that myself, and you've been giving me a little... I've been getting a little noise this morning for taking a daughter to Missouri.
Yeah.
So I'm still all Illini, I promise.
Well, but sometimes you can't control where they go.
That's true.
So they want to go. That's a big journalism school. Is she interested in that?
No, but it's, you know, we're hoping it's going to be a great experience for her. And so, but still, Illini.
That's right. I had the same thing. I took my daughter. She's a writer. She loves to write. My younger daughter. We took her up to a visit to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, Okay, this could be a problem here right. if she winds up not going there. But they have a really good writing school, English and writing and so forth. But I thought, okay, this could be a problem for me somewhere down the road. But anyway, well, it's good to see you again. Your family also traveled out west.
Yes, we had a great vacation in Wyoming. Beautiful opportunity to go to the Grand Teton. So definitely encourage people to explore our national parks. Mm-hmm. Did some hiking and just a really good family vacation.
Is that a place you go to normally? Or
we
is
have
it just,
been a few times. My parents actually have gone many, many times over the years. And my father turned 75 next year, so we did a lot of hiking, and they're in great shape, and so it was a good time.
Yeah, do you ride horses?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't do that much.
Well, you should.
Yeah,
it's
I know,
good for
I should.
Soul.
Yeah, it is good for the soul. All right, 356-9397. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz is with us. There are a few things in the news I just wanted to touch on with you and ask your perspective on things. If our listeners have questions, different things they want to ask about the law or cases or whatever, she's here to answer those to the best of her ability. So, first of all, Jesse White was in town yesterday. J.V. Pritzker was here.
Yeah, so sorry I missed that, but we were taking the daughter to school, and so I know that J.B. was here and Juliana, his vice is a deputy governor, vice
lieutenant governor,
lieutenant
I think they
governor,
call it. Yeah, candidate,
all the
yeah.
titles mm-hmm. Was here, and Jesse White as well. Sorry, I missed that, but I know there was some discussion about texting while driving, and I'm sure that Jesse White made a point of discussing his concerns about those issues, and those are important things to be talking about. I know I heard. Sorry, I'm blanking. The trooper who does the
Tracy Lillard.
Tracy Lillard was here.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tracy.
Yeah, that's okay.
sorry. haven't had enough coffee this morning. Tracy Lillard was on, I think, last week with Mary, maybe, or with you.
Probably with Scott, I think.
Oh, with Scott.
Yeah.
Talking about various issues related to driving on the highways, and I know that was something that she discussed as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Jesse White, there's a new state law spearheaded by Secretary of State Jesse White upping the penalty for texting while driving. Law makes the offense a moving violation instead of a non-moving one. And I guess the law takes effect next July.
So creating new law is a process. And, you know, there used to be no laws at all with regards to use of electronic devices way back in the day. When we didn't have that issue. And our laws actually started in Illinois out of a case, that a tragedy that happened here in Champaign County when Matt Wilhelm was struck by a car. He was riding a bike on 130 and doing everything he was supposed to be doing. And a girl was driving behind him. She was downloading ringtones back when that was a thing on her cell phone, and she didn't see him because she wasn't paying attention, and she hit him. There were no laws at that time governing the use of electronic devices while you were driving, and the Wilhelm family went to Springfield and were very active in pushing for some sort of laws. And so that actually really started a lot of the process of laws that govern how we drive, a lot of also laws about young people and the amount of time they had to have behind the wheel and that sort of thing as well. But the law right now with regards to the use of cell phones is a non-moving violation. It's a fine only. It doesn't go against your driving record. It doesn't lead to a suspension of the driver's license. And then more recently, they added on that if you cause a great bodily harm or a death, then it becomes a class 4 felony while you're using an electronic communication device. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's not a lot of really, there's no case law defining any of that. There's been no challenges to the appellate court. So what does it mean to use an electronic device is still an issue that is up for determination, and we have to look at other states and other laws for that. But so the suggestion to move it up from a non-moving violation to a moving violation is an increase in the penalty, an increase in the the possible results it can lead to: a suspension of your driver's license, increase in insurance, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and usually these things just take a while as incidents happen or as technology evolves or whatever.
Right.
It takes
a
while for the law to catch up.
Yeah, right? I mean, technology certainly evolves faster than the law in so many different areas. Mm-hmm. And this certainly is one of them. It's constantly changing. And so, what we mean by use is constantly something that we have to evaluate and try to determine. And, you know, if you look at driving under the influence, that also is a concept that had to evolve over time and laws that changed over time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, truly, I think in addition to some of these increases in penalties, that education and awareness campaigns, changes in our habits are really what is going to make a difference as far as safety on our highways.
Yeah, I just always wonder, as these things evolve, what's the, you know, what becomes the tipping point?
Right.
You know, when do you reach it?
And right. And, you know, and changes in technology also can help us with that, with this. You know, we have, you know, more cars that have Bluetooth enabled through the car, so you don't need to be talking on your phone. Phones have apps that can shut it down while the car is moving, and people should use those. You know, those kinds of technology enhancements can help us with the safety issues as well.
And I'm guessing where you run into this is, and you're the one with the experience on this, as a prosecutor or as a state's attorney, there are certain laws that you then have to follow where the penalty is can only be so much because it hasn't evolved to the point of
making
it more severe.
Right. I mean, I have to work within the laws that the legislature creates. And, you know, and the criminal justice system is not created to necessarily make things even, especially in these kinds of situations where the harm that results is it's irreparable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't give someone back a
right.
life that was lost.
Now, we had the Cruz case on
right.
the interstate. Where are we on that?
So in that case, Mr. Cruz has pleaded guilty to the felony aggravated use of an electronic control device, and we're set for a hearing because the judge presiding in that case wants to decide whether he will approve the electronic home monitoring mm-hmm. portion. The sheriff has approved Mr. Cruz for the use of an ankle bracelet in lieu of serving his time in the county jail, and the judge presiding in that case wants to have a hearing on that issue. So he has pleaded guilty. He has accepted responsibility for the tragedy in that case and for his behavior. You know, and that was a situation where we are taking a very expansive view of the word use of an electronic device,
mm-hmm.
Because we have no evidence that he actually touched the phone, that he heard it buzzing and was distracted by it and went to pick it up. But how an appellate court would rule on that, I honestly don't know,
mm-hmm.
if we got to that point.
Yep.
So,
and that was from a case over a year ago,
yes.
on Interstate 57 that
yes.
resulted in the death of 10-year-old Caitlin Connor. That was
And Caitlin's family, lovely, lovely people who, you know, have a Facebook page, Caitlin's Challenge. They're trying to educate and, you know, campaign. They're trying, you know, within what they can do, given, you know, their need to mm-hmm. mourn their daughter, frankly.
Sure.
But they are wonderful people, and they've suffered a tragic, tragic loss. And it was preventable, absolutely.
All right, we're here with Julia Reach, Champaign County State's Attorney, 921. And Richard is with us on the phone line. Hi, Richard.
Morning, Brian, and good morning, Ms. Reach.
Good morning.
I'll try to keep this simple and concise. It has to do with landlords versus renters. I've been a landlord for 40 years or so, sometimes in Champaign County, but I'm now in Douglas. But here's the issue.
Okay.
And I know that you have certain discretionary freedoms in prosecuting. When somebody who has a long history of defrauding landlords, why can't we dispense with much of law and just have them thrown out right away? We know they're defrauding. They're trying to get an extra amount of time in a property, and I'm forced to get an attorney, but they don't have to. It looks like somebody's colluding to get me to all the owners of property in the state to have to go to an attorney to get them out. What have you to say about this matter? And I know it's an ongoing problem, has been for decades.
Well, and this is really a civil matter. My office doesn't really have, we don't have any jurisdiction over landlord-tenant disputes in the sense of whether you're trying to have somebody evicted, and there is a whole body of law on that. And I think that the legislature has determined that people have some sense of a property right in the place where they're residing, and there has to be a process to make sure that their rights are protected. You know, certainly there are people who abuse that process and take advantage of their rights to the detriment of the landlord. And that, I think, is part of the law in so many different ways. You know, that the vast, vast, vast majority of people are law-abiding, good people, and then there are the few who make it difficult for the rest of us. And that's unfortunate.
This point.
I'm sorry?
To me, you said it's a civil matter, and yet when they're essentially stealing money from me, to me, that's a criminal matter. And I think that someone's history needs to be examined and say, look, we see what's going on here, and you don't have the rights of a first-time offender. And you know that many first-time offenders get off with just probation. But that's something that has been an irritant to me, and I've talked to other property owners. I would like to see the matter addressed in the courts properly.
Well, and I appreciate your concerns. Again, there's a whole body of law that addresses landlord-tenant issues when it comes to non-payment of rent. Certainly, it's a different matter if somebody, you know, writes you a fraudulent check or that sort of thing. But we also have to look at our resources and say there's a body of law that addresses those concerns, and we see those as primarily civil matters that need to be addressed in that arena.
356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. A couple of texts have come in. We'll take a quick break. We're here with Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reeds, fresh from her trip, taking her daughter to Missouri, fresh from a trip out west, and she's busy all the time, though, and here to take your questions. Back after this. Any for your thoughts? News Talk 1400 DWS with Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reeds.
Doing a little dancing to the
You like
the
that?
Tiger
Eye
there.
Of the Tiger?
Yeah. Makes me feel like I'm in high school again.
Good times, yeah. Right, for the most part. Says, good morning. Are any of the construction zone speeding violations ever plea bargained to lesser charges, and how many of these tickets have been issued this year in Champaign County?
Oh, I can't answer that question off the top of my head as far as how many construction zone tickets are issued. That actually would be a great question for Circuit Clerk Katie Blakeman or her office. As far as how many of them are plea bargained down, we resolve cases. There's not really much to plea bargain down in a speeding zone ticket, and again, it really depends on the situation. So hard question for me to answer just sitting here as far as numbers go.
How much are those? Is it 350 or something? I can't remember the number, and now I'm asking
I'm
another
plead.
Question. Yeah, okay, you're going to plead
gonna
the fifth
plead
on that
the
one.
Fifth on that one, okay. Just, you know, that I don't, off the top of my head, can't answer
I
that.
See the signs, and you traveled a lot. In some states, I don't see any construction zone signs or warnings or anything.
Right. You know, and I think that we have a lot of construction going on, of course, and there's a lot of warning signs coming up to those construction zones. And so people, you know, again, should be paying attention and should be able to see what's coming up.
Mm-hmm. And also it says
those
like
tickets. I would say also, you know, that a speeding in a construction zone ticket, if there are construction workers in that zone, can result in a suspension of your driver's license. So a very significant penalty in those kinds of cases.
And that's one of those things we talk about, laws getting tougher. Those have been toughened over
right.
the years.
Yes.
I mean, you used to blow through construction zones without thinking about it, and then somebody would die in a construction zone, And then pretty soon now it's down to 45 miles an hour. And right. if you're speeding, it's $300 or $400, whatever it is.
Yes.
And the additional penalties that right. you're talking about. Yeah, so that's I think that's got people kind of paying attention. John, good morning.
Could you explain to me and the listeners your rationale for Supreme Court or court orders versus opinions?
I'm not really sure what you mean.
Well, a court makes a determination. They can either make it under an order that's not published, or they can make it an opinion that is published.
Oh, okay, I see. You're asking about the difference between a published and non-published opinion. That probably would be a great question for Bob Steigman when he's on,
mm-hmm.
As to how they decide which is going to be published and which is not going to be published.
What purpose does it serve the public to have an unpublished order? In other words, nobody can see it.
Right. And again, well, we can see it. They do exist, but they don't serve as
who can know? The public can't see it. It's only the persons involved.
Right. But they don't serve as binding law. I think the rationale is generally that a non-published opinion doesn't change anything. And so that's why it's not published. It basically just continues on with the law as it existed previously. So it's
why
binding.
Why isn't it public?
Again, not a question for me. I'm not the one who makes those determinations. That would be a great question.
Yeah, I wonder if the judges do that themselves, maybe, or is that?
I have no.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm merely the state's attorney, not a appellate court judge.
What about an order from a state that doesn't have a subject matter jurisdiction?
Again, you're asking me questions I'm not really sure I know the answer to.
Okay.
So I'm gonna
save them for the judge, and we'll get
always,
to those.
Yeah.
We'll defer to the judge on that.
I always tell my witnesses, if you don't know the answer, say you don't know. Don't try to answer a question you don't know.
That's where you get in trouble on the stand, right? All right, got some more texts in for Julie. We'll get to those right after the news here with Michael Kaiser. We'll talk about the nationwide editorials, including here in the News Gazette. You may have seen it today on the president and freedom of the press and so forth. We'll talk about that in the first half hour is what I'm trying to say. And then the last half hour of the second hour is Busey Money Talk. Here's Michael. Ryan Barnhart, we're here with Julia Reed, Champaign County State's Attorney, just talking about things related to the law and talking about texting and driving quite a bit this morning. A couple of texts on that. She's with me until 10 o'clock. We'll talk about the nationwide editorials regarding the press and the media and fake news and all of that. There was newspapers across the country, including the one right here in this building, with editorials today. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And Busey Money Talk at 10:30. If you're looking...
Jump in. There was also a little editorial that I wanted to highlight about a change in the law that Senator Scott Bennett pushed in order to allow people who are behind on their student loan payments to not have their professional licenses suspended, mm-hmm. which makes perfect sense in order to, you know, help those people pay. So there's some positive stuff in the mm-hmm. paper, too. And
newspapers across the country are editorializing mm-hmm. today, mostly saying, hey, don't lump all of the media in with what you see on TV, 24/7
right.
news cable coverage. And we'll talk in the second half hour. And you also found out something about opinions.
Yes. So my good friend Steve Beckett, who is listening, thank you, Steve, sent me a message about the topic we were discussing before the break about unpublished appellate court opinions. And Steve tells us, and thank you, Steve, that all unpublished orders, which are called Rule 23 orders, are actually available to the public on the Illinois Courts website, which is illinoiscourts.gov, and that's all one word, illinoiscourts.gov. Under a tab that's Documents Rule 23 Orders. So they're unpublished, but they are actually available. They just are not binding law. as a published opinion would be.
So they're available. They're just not going to. They're going to let you look them up.
Right. And they give us guidance on how to proceed, but they are not binding law in the sense that we can't use them as an argument in court.
All right. On the text line for Julia Reitz, the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 3515357. It says, I kid you not, I witnessed a driver going down Prospect Avenue with his cell phone propped to his shoulder, a bowl of cereal in one hand and a spoon in his other. He must have been steering with his knees. I believe there needs to be one fits-all law for this. Distracted driving, whether it be texting, dog on your lap, riders distracting driver, eating food, smoking, reading a book or map, etc.
And in some other states, there are those laws. There are. We did a countrywide survey when we were reviewing the Cruz case. And in some other states, there are much more broad laws that address distracting driving, such as the texter was describing. We don't have that in Illinois. We don't have a general distracted driving law.
And the one thing Tracy Lillard, talking about the state police, wouldn't discuss and won't discuss is what happened at the hospital when Esteban Thomas was released after killing someone in a DUI accident on I-74. Does Julia know why nothing has been said by the spokesperson stating what happened at the hospital? To me, wouldn't hinder any future investigation. You got any?
Well, I can't speak for the Illinois State Police. In that case, the driver, Esteban Tomas, was released. He wasn't placed in physical custody. He was given a ticket with a date to appear. When he was in the hospital, he was released from the hospital. That was a decision made by the Illinois State Police at that time. The investigation was ongoing. Unfortunately, he left the country. We are working with federal and international authorities to try to get him back if we're able to locate him. That, you know, is something that is an ongoing issue.
Right
we're
now,
we're not going to, you know, give it up until we until we get him back.
But right now, I guess they don't know where he is.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right. Back to the phones to Gerald. Good morning, Gerald.
Yeah, I observed a MTD bus driver yesterday talking on a phone, on a corded phone, in the bus. How is that legal?
There are exceptions for different types of drivers. I'm not really sure, again, off the top of my head. That might have been, you know, more of a walkie-talkie. Is that even a term anyone uses anymore? you know, a direct line to the MTD or some sort of thing. You know, again, there are some, there are exceptions. So law enforcement officers, for example, you know, there are exceptions to the law that allows certain types of drivers to be able to use communication devices.
Okay.
And again, you know, if you have concerns about those issues, you know, I think you can address them to the MTD, or to the legislators who make those laws, over in Springfield. So, and our legislators are very active and involved in criminal justice issues, and would be happy to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you would think they wouldn't be able to talk on a phone since they have ran over a few people in Champaign.
Yeah. So you, did you see him with a phone, or was he talking into like a little, you know, hey,
no,
it was
like a, it was like an old, or like a handheld corded phone.
Hmm. Okay. Well, don't know what to tell you, but have you talked to the MTD?
I haven't.
So okay.
Yeah, I think that would be a great question for someone at the MTD. I'm sure they would be happy to answer that.
All right.
Okay, maybe a good question for, I'll plug Tom Kasich's mailbag.
Mailbag, yeah.
You said something about a walkie-talkie. Is the phone, a cell phone with the old Nextel?
Mm-hmm.
Is that legal?
I'm not really sure what type of phone you're talking about. Again, we're getting into the, you know, kind of stuff I don't know the answers to. So
just a Nextel cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are apps out there now that work just like Nextel.
Again, it's a question of how you define use, and you know, I think we are trying to define it very broadly, and you know, that might be a better question for a judge also, because ultimately they're the ones who determine whether someone is using under the definition of the statute.
Mm-hmm. I say right now I'm on Bluetooth, but if
which is legal because you're hands-free.
Right, on a walkie-talkie, you have to push the button to talk.
Well, and the law does allow for one button push. So, you know, when you're dialing the phone, if you're using one button, that's not in violation of the law. And that's where we get to the question of what does it mean to use the phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's so many different ways that,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Gerald, thanks.
So I can just push my wife's number and that's legal?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, yeah. Gerald.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. The old walkie-talkies. 10-4, good buddy.
Yeah.
Remember those?
When
yeah.
we were little kids and we all had handles
that's
on my
right.
dad's walkie-talkie in the car.
That's right. 944. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the gentleman just answered his own question with the term hands-free. And a friend of mine was given a warning over in Urbana. And because he was doing that very thing as talking into the phone with the speaker on, just holding the phone, and the police officer saw him holding the phone. But anyway, that's not why I called. But it is about distracted driving. Julia, when we have these accidents, which appear to have, you know, no reason why a person goes crashing into the back of somebody else, is any investigation done deeply into finding out whether they actually at that time were on their phone? By getting records from the phone company?
Well, I can tell you in the Cruz case that we were talking about previously, yes, we did subpoena cell phone records. That was part okay. of the reason why the investigation took quite a while. The Illinois State Police also did a very extensive crash reconstruction. And I think I've talked about this before on Penny that we have very limited resources. The state police have very limited resources. They've got, I think, one trooper whose job it is to do those traffic crash reconstructions when there's a fatality for 38 counties in Illinois. So it takes, he was so very thorough, and I really commend him for the investigation that he did. It just took quite a while. But yes, but part of it too is, you know, in the Cruz case, for example, Mr. Cruz said at the time that he was distracted by his phone. We don't necessarily know that in many situations mm-hmm. unless somebody says that. We have to have a basis for getting into someone's private information. You know, mm-hmm. we can't just in every crash subpoena cell phone records without some reason.
Sure.
To believe that was a piece of the puzzle.
I just have to wonder how many accidents are caused by distractions. I came across that accident. I think it was on Tuesday. I was on I-74 mm-hmm. westbound for the mm-hmm. gentleman at Mansfield exit. As I drove by there pretty quickly after it had happened, I looked at that truck. And there was nothing left of the front third of that truck.
Right.
And I immediately knew the gentleman or whoever was driving was dead because he hit that other truck going full speed. And it's literally devastating. And people just really need to use their heads these days. They really do. But they're not, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, again, we don't have a reason or, frankly, the resources to explore that issue in every fatality.
Sure.
But certainly
sure.
What
difference does it make to this one? He's the only one that was injured. But if some innocent people are killed, I
right.
certainly hope that,
mm-hmm. yes.
that we can, you know, do that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Good call. We appreciate it. Mike texts in. He says, why is it illegal to sell your organs? Doesn't a person own their own body? How's that for a question out of left field?
That's an interesting question. I didn't not anything that I've had to deal with here in Champaign County, thankfully.
Yeah.
So I have worked with regards to organ donation mm-hmm. To encourage it and to expand it in situations that we deal with. In the past we used to decline organ donations in pretty much all homicide cases because we were concerned about the integrity of the investigation. But we have learned from those organ donation organizations, Gift of Hope particularly, that we can work together in order to have an effective prosecution and also give people an opportunity at life. So I'm a supporter of the concept of organ donation.
Mm-hmm. Of all the questions I'm thinking of today,
that one didn't come to mind.
No, I also, let's see here. Brian, you touched on it a few minutes ago. Why can a trucker chat on a CB with a corded mic in his right hand and I can't use a cell phone with similar physical commitments?
You know, again, this is a legislative question. Maybe, you know, frankly, cynically, maybe it was the truck driver's lobby. You know, there were a lot of different interest groups when the whole question of how do we legislate the use of cell phones on the highways, you know, who chimed in. And so some people say, you know, the law's not strong enough. Well, there are other people who, you know, who said it's too strong. So
we need to do it for business need to communicate or whatever on the open road. All right, 9:49, and we've got Jim up next. We'll take a quick break, about a two-minute break here or so, and then we'll come back with more in a moment. Again, you'll hear from CBS News. Aretha Franklin has passed away. You'll hear that at the top of the hour. Got a text here real quick. Good morning, Mrs. Reitz. If you were practicing law in Columbus, you were representing Courtney Smith, the former wife of the former wide receivers coach. Would you be able to obtain or be able to investigate whether Urban Meyer reported domestic violence in 2013? And if he did not, would you be able to suggest to the university to fire the coach? That's a broad question, but, I mean, what in these cases...
Right.
You've got text, I guess, from the wife of the alleged alleged abuse, I guess, in this case. And then she apparently texted all the other coaches' wives and texted Urban Meyer's wife. But Urban Meyer said he didn't know about it. I mean, from a prosecuting standpoint, what do you do with all that information?
Well, so from a prosecuting standpoint, the wives who may have been told about the abuse don't have any kind of an obligation legally to report that to the police or anybody else. So there's not really anything that we could do if they didn't report it. If, as far as the underlying domestic violence situation, if the victim had not reported it to the police at that time, it could be prosecuted depending on the time frame. I don't know what the statute of limitations might be, but obviously it's a much more difficult case the older it is. As far as the civil aspects of it, potentially, and again, this is a little bit out of my area, but because Ohio State is a state institution, potentially there could be a FOIA request. Again, I'm not familiar with Ohio FOIA laws.
Might be different than here, yeah.
Or whether there'd be some sort of protection in any way, but certainly perhaps there's a way through FOIA to see if there's any documentation of any communication between the coaches and authorities. I suppose one could try to subpoena text records, but, you know, again, given the age, not exist anymore. I think it would be difficult.
All right, back to the phones. Jim's been waiting. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
I'd like to address the previous caller, the gentleman called in about the wreck out on 74. I did not know the gentleman involved in this accident. He did work for Frontier. He was a well-known gentleman from Pasotum, firefighter, just what I saw on the news last night. Mm-hmm. I suspect, to answer his question from my view, I suspect law enforcement knows whether or not he was texting or on his cell phone at the time of the accident. If he had such a device on him, I'm sure that's one of the things they looked at immediately.
I don't know. You know, and I don't expect to be involved in that investigation,
yes.
Being that it was a single car. Well, he would. And in any case, I'm going to suggest maybe that we should not, given the newness of it and this. I call Champaign County a big, small town. I don't know who's listening.
I'm sticking up for the gentleman.
Right, and
please,
that's what I'm saying,
to talk over you. I suspect that people are drawing conclusions already, and he sounded like that. I imagine law enforcement probably does know the answer to it. But I offer up 74 between Danville and up to about that general area. With all this construction recently, there's been multiple accidents.
Yes.
We had an out-of-state semi-driver, female semi-driver, which is nothing against females. She admitted to braking heavily as she was coming up on traffic slowing down. I have been in that situation on the interstate several times where traffic goes from 70 mile an hour down to about 30. And if you happen to be looking off the side or even looking over into the other lane, you can be caught off guard because, you know, people are braking all of a sudden and there you are.
So yeah, and I think
I'm
Tracy,
just saying we need to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. It'll all come out.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Tracy Lillard talked about that as well.
Yep. Good point, Jim.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it. One texter says you don't have to take your eyes off the road to use a CB radio. Just a reminder there. All right. 9:58, couple minutes left here. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
Following up on the CB, just like the other guy said, you don't have to take your hands or your eyes off the road to use a CB, but one thing I do want to stress, whether you're on a hands-free speakerphone or on your radio, if you're getting near any kind of traffic, you need to hang up or not answer immediately until you're in a clear area, because even if you're on the CB, which is less distracting than a phone, if you're near any kinds of traffic, you're not going to be able to respond quick enough in case in case anybody swerves in front of you or veers anything. You're just not going to be able to move quick enough.
Yeah, I think there have been all kinds of studies on reaction time, you know, and even if your hand's free, that your reaction time is much slower than if you're focusing entirely on the driving.
Yeah. If you're not talking to anybody and you're just focused on the driving, it's a lot safer. You guys take care.
Thank you, Brian.
You too.
Yep. Good to hear from you. All right. Well, we're out of time. How about that?
That was a fast hour.
It was a fast hour, wasn't it? And this has been a big issue.
Yes.
The texting and driving will continue to be, I think, because you see billboards, signs overhead on the highways, not just saying don't drive impaired or whatever. They're saying, put your phone down.
Right. And, this is a changing technology, and so I'm really glad that we're having these conversations. And that people are being thoughtful and concerned about it. That, again, more so than the law changes, I think, is what's going to create safe highways.
All right. Well, have a good rest of the day.
Thanks. You
on
too.
To work. We appreciate it. We'll see you again soon on
Absolutely.
WDWS Champaign-Urbana at The Tone. It's 10 o'clock.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
I've loved you much too long, my love's too strong. Let you go, never knowing what went wrong. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoes. Searching for you.
Now, this was the day 1977. Elvis Presley died on this day. The king of rock and roll. He was 42, only 42 years old. He died on this day. You may remember where you were when that happened. And interestingly enough, Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul, dying today at the age of 76. So just wanted to play that. It's probably my favorite Elvis song. There's a lot of them to choose from, but I just like that one. Tom Kasich is here with us. You remember that day, right?
When I do. Elvis died. I do. And it hadn't been long before or since he had played here at the Assembly Hall.
Yeah.
I didn't go, but I heard about it. Did you go?
I did not know.
Yeah. There was the late Becky Mabry one of our colleagues here was in love with Elvis, and that was probably the highlight of her life, mm-hmm. going to see him at the Assembly Hall.
Yeah, you're Aretha Franklin's fan too?
I do yeah, I love Aretha Franklin, and I still have albums, you know, LPs, Pink Cadillac LP. Mm-hmm. I love that song. Yeah, but yeah, lots of her stuff.
Well, real quick, we wanted to talk to Tom here for a couple of minutes because the papers across the country with editorials today about the president, and it says President Trump's disappointment with news coverage is understandable and hardly unusual for a political figure, but to berate people for doing their jobs is disappointing and contrary to the ideals of the founders of the republic. And the headline is "Allies, Not Enemies," and News Gazette with that editorial today.
Yes.
That you were part of.
Yep.
And just kind of give me your thoughts on what we're trying to say here with the News Gazette, but also what people across the country, I guess, are saying.
What we're saying, we're in every case here, I think it's a defense of newspapers and journalists doing their job, reporting not only on President Trump and the White House and issues in Washington, but also issues in Springfield and issues in Champaign-Urbana and school districts and everywhere else. You know, we our job is to report the news, and he is, by his statements, is attempting to undermine our credibility by saying it's fake news and don't believe what you read or you see. You know, it's just a way of defending ourselves and doing our jobs.
And I think the biggest thing that I know in your opinion piece here, but also across the country, is, as you say, the local people that are covering local events. I think what has happened is maybe the president has lumped everybody that's doing that together with the people you see on 24/7 cable news networks.
Right. He makes no distinction between the talking heads and the panelists on CNN and the people the young reporters or veteran reporters covering Springfield or the Champaign School District. And one of our colleagues over at the Peoria paper made a good point that there was a poll done earlier this month by Ipsos that's found that almost a third of all the people in the United States agree with the president that the press is the enemy of the people, and that 43% of Republicans told pollsters they'd be willing to give the president the power to close, quote, bad media outlets. Mm-hmm. And that is just so foreign to what everything in this country is supposed to be about, mm-hmm. including the Constitution, you know.
And we'll let people read the whole editorial for themselves, but you talked about the First Amendment. I mean, there's a reason, you know, the First Amendment's in there.
Right, right.
It was important.
Right, you know, and, you know, our founding fathers, and they were fathers, unfortunately, for women here, but you know, thought that freedom of the press and freedom of speech was important, based on, you know, their experiences in Great Britain, and, mm-hmm. and they didn't want a recurrence of that here. They wanted a free press, critical press, and George Washington even was, you know, faced criticism in his second term, especially as president. And I think a lot of people are familiar with the stuff that President Lincoln endured, even in our editorial cited, even in his hometown in Springfield. One of the newspapers there was highly critical of him.
Yeah, and when you go back to newspapers, and I've read a lot of, you know, 1800s, 1700s, but especially before, leading up to the Civil War, there were newspapers that were just flat out for one party or another. I mean, there were Whig parties, you know, newspapers.
Right.
They were, you know, whatever it was.
It was very partisan.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the reason was newspapers were businesses more than anything. They were printing, you know, part of their job was to print, you know, posters and pamphlets and everything else. And secondarily, it was to publish a newspaper and to appeal to certain partisans. And here in Champaign-Urbana, at that time, it was just in its infancy, mm-hmm. but our newspaper was a Republican newspaper at that time. Mm-hmm. It still is, but it was very much a partisan.
There's the editorial staff, and then there's the, as you say, the people covering the courts and the schools and everything else that
are independent, you know, and are nonpartisan,
just trying to do a job,
right?
Basically. So
yeah.
Anyway, you can check it out on the News Gazette today. A4 is the opinions page. And Tom, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
We appreciate it. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with more in a moment here. All right, back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Bottom of the hour is Busey Money Talk. If you're looking to sell or buy a home, the great husband and wife team at Keller Williams can help. My friends Steve and Pam Starwalt, they both grew up in Champaign-Urbana. They graduated locally. They know the area very well. When you want to sell your home or buy a home, you can call Pam and Steve Starwalt at Keller Williams, 217-239-7156. Are you looking to sell a home in 2 weeks or 6 months or a year? Well, it doesn't matter. They can help you kind of walk you through this entire process. And again, I gave you the phone number, 239-7156, but you can Google Starwalt. Just Google it, and you can find them. You can Google Steve. You can Google Pam, and it'll come up on that first page. I've tried it. The way to reach out to them, though, is a variety of ways. But whatever you need, whether you're buying a home, selling a home, maybe your life is changing, you're looking for a bigger home, your family's expanded, your job prospects have improved, you're making a lot more money at your job, and you say, hey, I could use some more room for my family. They can help with that. If you're looking to downsize, you can also take advantage of Pam's experience in that area. She's completed training, earned a certificate that makes her a senior real estate specialist. So again, call my friend Steve and Pam Starwalt. Steve will be busy with a football team here too coming up as well. He handles all the headsets and the press box on the sideline for the coaches. Steve and Pam Starwalt, 239-7156, or Google Starwalt. All right, to the phones here at 1020, and Zoe. Hi, Zoe. Good morning.
Hi, Brian. Well, I want to be a little careful what I say, because I have to admit I didn't hear the beginning of the program, and I have not read the editorial yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it bothers me that these newspapers all over the country are coordinating this attack on President Trump, and I have to say in his defense that I realize his tweets get kind of, they're sort of, and he talks about the fake news media, but actually, if you really study President Trump and what he's said, he doesn't always distinguish when he's talking, but he has distinguished. He's not talking about all media at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's easy to say he is because he makes these off-the-cuff remarks, and when he's talking about the fake news, he's talking about specific networks who coordinate, take their talking points, and they regurgitate the same talking points. We know about Project Mockingbird from the CIA way back when. That some of us think it's still going on in some kind of moderated form, and that the mainstream news media like CNBC and CNN and even Fox has gone off. It's not conservative the way it was, or the way it allegedly was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll say that. I think sometimes it was like the controlled opposition, and I think that President Trump, he's definitely not talking about all media, and he's I think that there are a lot of scare tactics that are being used and kind of emotional baiting people with, emotional talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean any disrespect to the gentleman who wrote the editorial, because I haven't, as I said, I didn't hear all of it and I haven't read him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just wanted to say in President Trump's defense that, and I think it's pretty sad that they've coordinated this all over the country, these editorials and art for today.
Mm-hmm.
And just want to make sure people are aware they're doing. They did that. Maybe you mentioned it. I don't know.
Yeah, they are. And and I think for you, I mean, we follow this stuff pretty closely, so I think
right. We
get the distinction.
Exactly.
We know what he's saying. The president we're talking about.
Right.
But I think there's also a First Amendment guarantee. I mean, that was one of the things the founding fathers said. Hey.
Oh, I agree with that.
The press should do it. And I think for people that don't follow it as closely as you and I do. Is there a message out there sometimes where you're just lumping it all together without saying specifically, hey, the cable news networks or the 24/7, I guess that's maybe what the newspapers are saying.
Well, that might be, but the idea that they're coordinating this today really bothers me, because that just, to me, seems, wrong. And so anyway, I just wanted to say that, and thank you for letting me say
it. Sure. No problem. Thank you, Zoe.
Okay, Brian.
Appreciate
you
listening. Text in says Obama wanted to shut down talk radio via the FCC, but no outrage expressed by mainstream media there. They wanted Tom to comment. I told Tom he had to get to other stuff, so I told him we'd only have him on a few minutes, so I'm sorry. If you want to send something to him at his mailbag or at the News Gazette, certainly do that. And text in says, I find it funny that when fake news is mentioned on your show, you only mention CNN. Fox News is as bad. They each represent their favorite party. They're both fake news. Please make sure both are mentioned. Okay, there you just did. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I think it's kind of hilarious. I mean, us people out here, we see the double standard. The press really has to gain our trust back. We do not trust the press. We see the double standard. You know, Obama told Putin to his face right on live TV, it'll be different when I'm president. You know, that was no big deal. You know, Trump sneezes towards Russia, and, you know, it's a big deal. We see all the double standards. You know, Obama got on TV and lied to everybody. You know, we know what Dan Rather did. He made up a story about George Bush. Rather did. And put it on the news, and it still works, I believe. Yeah.
Do you think people, though, are able to differentiate between the national daily talk shows and panels and everything else and what goes on day to day in a local paper?
Oh, we know exactly what's going on. Just like today with them all coordinated. Can you say collusion? You know, you guys are getting in on the collusion. We know exactly what's going on here. We are not stupid anymore, and we're going to hold you guys accountable. The press will be held accountable. We do not trust you anymore. You have to gain back your trust. We know exactly what's going on here. We see the double standards every day. Every day. With North Korea, you guys would have had a three-hour special on Obama. So even with Russia, you guys would have done the same thing.
Okay. Hey, Don, I got to run, but thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
Yep, you bet. And I got less than a minute here, but Ted, good morning.
Yes, Don just said everything. We know Tom Kasich's political views, just like that guy that replaces you, Scott. You guys are complicit, and we know we aren't stupid. We aren't deplorables. You can't smell us. We know what you're doing. You guys are complicit, and I'm not talking you. It's the News Gazette when you pass on lies, just distorted lies.
Okay.
We're not stupid. We may work with our backs and not our minds, but we're not stupid.
All right. Hey, Ted, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Real quick, the Beef House. We'll close it out on this. Beef House, great place over there just across the state line in Indiana. Beef House was established in 1964 for over 50 years. People have been venturing that direction to enjoy great steaks as well as chicken, pork, pasta, and seafood. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. You can enjoy a great meal at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Either it's a big meal, whether it's a steak or you want Philly cheese steak sandwich, everything in between, they've got it. Maybe a bowl of soup, great salad bar. Enjoy all the great drinks with the hot tea, the iced tea, the milk. They bring you the rolls, of course. You've got your choice on that with butter or jam or apple butter, my favorite. A lot of people in town for weddings, getting ready for school. It's just off I-74, exit 4 in Covington, Indiana. All right, I've got to step aside. It's Busey Money Talk up next. We can talk some more about the editorials tomorrow if you'd like. We'll get it started. Also talk a little bit about the Pregnancy Resource Center. All that coming up on Penny for Your Thoughts starting at 9 tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.